Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
You are listening to Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Hey, what's up? It's Metal Shop and Metal Shop's Backstage Pass here. It's been a year and some... now months of not in-person interviews, but podcast interviews and radio show interviews from home. But right now I'm talking with someone who's stayed away. So in normal times, we'd probably be able to talk in person, but obviously that's not the situation. She's the singer for an awesome band called Dying Wish. They put out a single called Innate Thirst most recently out on Sharp Tone Records. Emma Boster, how you doing today?
What's up? I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. It's awesome to be able to chat with you. I'm a big fan of the new song. I guess I might as well just jump right in and ask, is that in, you know, releasing a single, is that any indication that we might get a, like a EP or a full length anytime soon?
Yeah. We have a full length on the way. And it's a 11 songs that we worked on over the summer, and yeah, it's coming.
So you worked on that over the summer. That's awesome. Where did you guys record it, and you know, how long did it take to finish up and everything?
Yeah, we were in Belleville, New Jersey for 5 weeks, and you know, first LP is definitely it's a new experience, so we were there for 5 whole weeks, and
I'm assuming that you probably worked with Will Putney then.
We worked with Randy LeBeau, so it's the same studio.
Oh, cool.
But Randy's kind of like the new guy in charge around there. Not nice. That Will's not doing stuff, but Randy's doing a lot of the new stuff that goes in there. So we've been we worked with him, and it was a great experience.
When you all went to New Jersey for 5 weeks, was everything written, or was there some working on songs in the studio too?
Well, we had our two singles, Enemies and Innate Thirst, that were done. And we weren't exactly sure if those were going to be on the record. And then we had some demos for some new songs as well.
Yeah.
But I would probably say at least half the record was written there in the studio with Randy.
That's awesome. Right. So he not just, you know, produced, or he not just like recorded it and engineered it, but he gave some input as well?
He did, yeah. I would say he co-wrote for sure. You know, co-produced a lot of it. We also kind of added and changed some things to Innate Thirst and Enemies in Red. So he was able to kind of like, you know, spice up just very, very small things. So so that people will kind of notice the difference when they like listen to it on the record for those two songs. But yeah.
Awesome. Well, was there a plan to do that all along, or did the pandemic kind of just force you to go back and just decide to just work on the record instead of, I'm assuming, doing quite a bit of touring?
Oh, I mean, it was, I guess an LP wasn't necessarily the plan. You know, we have, as of right now, we have only, I guess, 8 songs out that are released. And so we kind of thought, like, you know, we have to, like, get a little bit of more music out there before we release an LP. So we were planning on doing another EP. And then we ended up signing with Sharptone.
Yeah.
And then we talked about the idea of, well, you know, they're going to invest in putting out a record, so why don't we do that? And then it was just kind of like, well, it feels like we're ready to do a record at this point, so why not? And so we kind of changed the course, and definitely the pandemic did play a role in that. You know, we were able to invest more time in writing and didn't have anything else going on. So yeah, it definitely did. But I think that we would have ended up writing a record either way, because it just kind of was the balance that we struck with the label. And
yeah.
So I'm, you know, it's been a tough year for everyone and for us. And but it's a blessing in disguise that we were able to have this time to invest in writing our first LP, you know, and make it really special.
That's exciting. Is there any date you can give us as far as like when it might be released, or leave that up to we'll hear it when we hear it?
I can't give you a date, but I can tell you that it'll be here before the end of the year. So but keep your eyes peeled, because we're working on a couple things that, you know, the necessary things that it takes in order to kind of roll out releasing your first LP. That's all being worked on right now. It's
yeah.
all in the works, so it's coming. Yeah.
So before, you know, pre-pandemic, the band, it seemed to be hitting pretty hard. You know, you all did a tour with Counterparts, which must have been pretty awesome for the band. It'd be kind of exposing the band to like a pretty big audience of Counterparts and mm-hmm. some other big ones. I guess, what was that like being on a big tour like that?
Oh, wow. I mean, it was different. It was our first like big tour, you know? Mm-hmm. I work in a venue, or I did
yeah.
pre-pandemic. So like, I kind of knew what to expect as far as like, you know, run of show goes, and like, just like the whole kind of like the professional aspect of it was really different. But it was, you know, people learning about us, and, you know, people, I guess like just kind of weird. It exposed us to a new audience that probably wouldn't have, you know, like come seen us, like people who were fans of us, but it gave them an extra incentive to come see us because, you know, they liked somebody else on the bill that was a little bit bigger than us. And so, you know, we got to show those people like what we're really about and, meet some fans. And, I mean, it was a really great experience as far as like, we were able to also meet and build relationships with people in bands like, our manager, who plays guitar in Straight From The Past. So
nice.
That's kind of how we ended up meeting him, was because he was on that tour. And, so yeah, I mean, it's just an entirely like new experience for us as a band altogether, playing big venues and, having a green room and, you know, just like all of those things that you kind of dream about being in a smaller band.
Yeah. That, I mean, playing VFW halls and stuff, you're not going to get a green room, and you're definitely going to have to share a bathroom with the audience. So.
Right, which I mean, I love that too, but yeah, it's another experience. Yeah.
So I got to mention that we play on Metal Shop, we play a lot of Knocked Loose, and you may recognize Emma's voice from, she sang on the song called The Serpent's Kiss, or Serpent's Touch, my bad. And you actually had Brian from Knocked Loose featured on one of your songs. I was curious, that must have been a pretty big look for the band. Like, did that get the band name out there to quite a bit of new listeners, would you say?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that band is great for so many reasons, but one of the reasons why Knocked Loose is so awesome is because they're the kind of people where they come from like a hardcore background, but they have been exposed to this entirely new scene of people. And so they are, they really want to take the hardcore scene kind of with them and like expose this, the mainstream to, hardcore like ethics and sounds and stuff. And so like it originally started when, they had played in Portland with Jesus Peace and Year of the Knife. And I'm trying to think of who else. Terror, I think.
Yeah,
was on that
Terror.
Tour.
That was a good tour.
A few years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. They like hand selected every local that played on that tour. If I'm not mistaken, they definitely, they like picked, you know, which band they wanted to play, you know, from each city, just so that they could like kind of, you know, show their crowd like, hey, this is what's going on locally near you. So that's how we first played with them. And I just think it's really awesome that they just really go out of their way to care and, you know, show kids new music. And so, they had hit me up and asked me to do, A Serpent's Touch. And I was, of course, like I was going to do it. And, it just became this kind of relationship where we were like, wow, like our voices mesh really well together. Mm-hmm. Like we should ask him to do Enemies because we wrote this really awesome part and it worked out. And so we're super grateful for them because it's definitely, definitely has, taken our band to another level, just being able to be associated with them in that way. So.
And I mean, it's not just being featured on, you know, a really cool band. It's like, that's a band. When that album came out, I remember it was like, I mean, there are very few CDs that they sell at Target anymore, but I distinctly remember they had Knocked Loose and Killswitch Engage and a couple other metal ones. And I looked on the CD and I mean, you and your mom could go, or your dad, you could go pick up that CD and have your name on the CD in Target. Like, that is really freaking cool. Like, that's
badass. Funny you say that, because my mom and I did go to Target, and we did do that.
That's awesome. That's so cool.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That's a cool moment. And then, like, you know, that gives, like, you know, if your mom doesn't know what you're doing, you're like, see, mom, check it out. A little bit of justification.
Right.
Like, I'm making the right moves. All right, mom. All right. So
definitely.
I'm curious about kind of like your, I guess, journey into music. What was, even if it's embarrassing and, you know, I'll fully admit that my first CD I ever bought with my own money was No Doubt Tragic Kingdom, which I still back. Awesome album, but
awesome.
If it's awesome. Even if it's embarrassing, what was your first CD or tape, record? What was your first thing that you used your own money to buy, music wise?
It's actually not embarrassing. I remember I was in the eighth grade and I went to Best Buy.
Yeah,
and I bought with Roots Above and Branches Below by the Devil Wears Prada.
Okay, all right. So
yeah.
Were you a fan of it? Was it the album art that got you? Did your friends like that band? How'd you hear about Devil Wears Prada and like what got you into that kind of music?
I mean, probably MySpace.
Okay. Yeah.
I definitely, yeah. So, Pedro, who actually plays guitar in Dying Wish, we were friends in eighth grade. We went to school together and, we were always showing music back and forth, like A Skylit Drive, Bring Me the Horizon.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure he's the one who told me about the Devil Wears Prada, if I'm not mistaken. And I remember, I think I streamed it and then I was like, I have to have this. So I went to Best Buy and bought it.
And I'm going to guess you put the song on your profile and added them to your top eight.
Probably. Okay. Yeah.
I remember, dude, there were so many bands that blew my mind, like just from the MySpace era. And that was like, I remember getting super into like Suicide Silence and Job for a Cowboy. Like when that Doom EP came out and like, I probably added so many freaking streams to their MySpace totals. It was a good time, that MySpace era of music.
It really was when music, or I mean, it was a social media app that was also like revolved around music, and it was just really special.
It was an awesome app for, or not app, website, actually. That was before app. That was pre-apps. That was an awesome website for bands. That was a great site for bands. Like, it, you know, obviously there was, like, the, like, kind of the networking for people and, you know, people being, I guess, what you would call influencers these days. But really for artists, like, because you could add all your music on there. And I mean, Facebook... It was kind of like pre-Bandcamp mixed with Facebook, actually. I don't
know. Yeah, and you remember Last.fm, too?
Oh, I remember Last.fm. I definitely remember Last.fm.
Oh, yeah. I loved that.
I used to go to a site called hxcmp3.com. That's how I got my sick hardcore MP3s. sound old.
That's awesome.
So, okay. So your first album, Devil Wears Prada, what was your first band t-shirt? Mine was also No Doubt from Target.
Oh, you know, No Doubt is, Gwen is like one of, you know, she's obviously an icon. Oh. I grew up on, Tragic Kingdom and Rocksteady, like that was, that my mom liked. But first band tee. Oh, I don't know. I mean, I could tell you the first shirt that I ever bought in concert.
Sure, let's do that. Let's do that.
It was probably so the first I grew up in a small town, and then I moved to Portland when I was 13, and so my mom took me to Warped Tour, and I definitely bought, like, I remember Scary Kids, Scaring Kids.
Okay.
Chiodos. Oh man. It's kind of embarrassing. But yeah, I remember buying shirts at Warped Tour. I can't tell you the specific one. I don't know off the top of my head, but definitely Warped Tour. I remember splurging on a couple tees when I was younger. But yeah, I don't remember my first tee, to be honest with you.
So I don't want to assume anything, but just based on some of the bands you've mentioned, can I assume, is it fair to assume that you were a bit of a scene kid?
Yeah, I had a phase.
Okay. So how scene was it? Did you have the, I guess you would call them snake bites and the big stretched ears and the, what do they call it? The hairstyle where it's like kind of like a spikes in the back, but like, or like big frizzy hair. What was your scene look?
You know, I teased my hair for a minute. I had like the bumps, and I had the big eyeliner and stuff. But I don't know. That I had a mullet.
Oh, cool. Okay.
The apparently those mullet are back.
Yeah.
So I've been thinking about, you know, maybe reviving the look, but no, I wouldn't. I'm just kidding. But I was for like a couple year, maybe like a year and a half. And then I discovered hardcore music, and instantly I was like, I'm too cool. So.
Exactly. I remember there was, there was like a 6 months where you would see kids with cartoon neon monster merch, you know, and then 6 months later they'd be wearing like Shattered Realm basketball jersey. You're like, oh, okay, they discovered hardcore. So what got you from kind of that, what you would call scene music, or, you know, metalcore stuff, what got you into hardcore? Like, what bridged that gap, you said? Because, you know, you obviously, it must have been a band, or, you know, someone reaching out to you, or you know, how'd you find out about quote unquote hardcore and the stuff that you thought you were too cool for, you know? Like, you're like, okay, I'm hardcore now. What got you into hardcore?
I had a friend who was a few years older than me. I was like 15.
Mm-hmm.
He lived just across the water in Vancouver, Washington, and he was listening to Comeback Kid and okay. Down to Nothing and Rotting Out, which like was this is like early Rotting Out,
oh,
and
yeah.
Have Heart and stuff like that. And but he still, you know, kind of liked some of the stuff that I was listening to at the time.
Sure.
And so he like was showing me all of these new bands, and then I wasn't old enough to drive, so he would like drive me to shows, and we would go to shows together. And so it was like that one person who really went out of their way to be like, I think that you would really enjoy this. And
that's
so
cool.
I did, yeah.
That's cool. So you get super into this music, and then how did you pivot into actually working as a concert promoter, or what's your what's your role in that, and then how did you get into that world?
Oh wow. It took a long time going to shows and just like being around and just feeling comfortable. Like I had a friend who I think it must have been 2016, and he was booking shows here in Portland, and I could just tell that he didn't want to do it anymore. He's kind of you know, he had like a full-time job, and he was like, yeah, I just like kind of am sick of this. And I was like, well, teach me how to do it and I'll do it instead. So
yeah.
He did, and I just like started booking really small shows at a bar here called Blackwater. They do all ages shows. It's like a vegan bar. It's like a 100-person capacity, but it's like perfect, you know?
Yeah.
Did a couple shows at a VFW hall. And then, I ended up through knowing people in hardcore, I ended up meeting somebody who worked at a local venue in town and got a job working as a production manager there. And then I started doing assistant talent buying, and it just kind of just all worked out based off of like me, you know, starting small and then just like working my way up,
yeah.
Kind of just like through the experiences and the networking and all that. So
when the pandemic is over, whatever that means, do you see yourself back in that world?
Yeah, I would love to. You know, if my priority lies anywhere, it's definitely going to be with Dying Wish for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I want to tour and, be able to play music. I think I would rather do that than, work in a venue, but, definitely when I'm not on the road and when I'm not making music, I would love to, continue to support other artists and make live shows happen here in Portland and just be a part of the scene that we've cultivated here. That's so awesome. And I can't wait.
Absolutely. So, being from Portland, a small town, but then moving to Portland and kind of growing up in the Portland scene, what are some of your favorite Portland artists? Because we're a Seattle radio show, so I tend to ask people, you know, what's your favorite Seattle bands of all time? But I'm curious about you. You know, I love the band Poison Idea. What else? Some other Portland hardcore bands I got to see. I got to see a band called The Physical Challenge many years ago. What else? I don't know. Anyway, so what are your personal favorite bands from Portland?
Well, currently my favorite Portland band and probably my favorite band that's ever come out of Portland is a band called Glacier Veins. And,
that's a cool name.
They're not hardcore in any way.
Mm-hmm.
They're signed to Equal Vision, which is actually based out of Portland. But they just put out an LP last year, called Everything Glows. And I mean, I don't want to compare them to Paramore because I feel like it's too easy, but I feel like it definitely kind of hangs out in that genre.
So I'm gonna write
kind
that
of
down.
Like dreamy.
I like Paramore, so I'm gonna write that down. Glacier Veins.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah, and then there's a death metal band called Vitriol.
Oh yeah, shout out to
Cooper.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, they're
sick.
Super technical.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like I really love their sound. Let's see. There's a band from here that they're a vegan straight edge band called X Cauterize X.
Cool.
They're cool. They're going to be putting out some new music, and then of course From Ashes Rise. They're like one of they're like one of the Portland like metalcore hardcore bands that like actually kind of made it into like a bigger scope back in the early 2000s. So I would have to say those are probably the Portland bands that I would recommend.
Yes, and Tragedy too, definitely going hand in hand with From Ashes Rise.
Tragedy.
Yeah. I got to see From Ashes Rise at a matinee show at El Corazon with Paint It Black. What a random show. It was really good though. It was
cool.
Good. Yeah, and The Helm. That was
Was it El Corazon, or was it, what's that small room next to El Corazon called?
The Funhouse. It was El Corazon before. Yeah, it was El Corazon, because the Funhouse wasn't a thing yet at that, but that was many years ago. Okay, so I'm curious about, you mentioned, you know, so you mentioned this being Glacier Veins, and you said not hardcore, you know, et cetera, et cetera. What's a band or an artist that if we, you know, we hear Emma's voice, it's shredding, it's gnarly, we're like, oh man, she's so hardcore. What's a band or artist that, you know, would surprise the listeners that you love? Like, you love them, and people would be like, what, really? Never would have guessed.
Well, I am an absolute diehard SZA fan.
Cool.
I feel like if anyone has ever looked at my social media, they might guess that. SZA is fantastic. Her lyrics are just so honest and brutal and just beautiful. And then also, I've been obsessed with the new Citizen record, Life in Your Glass World, and it's just reminding me how great that band's discography is. And so, those are two artists that definitely are not hardcore, but I just feel they just strike a lot of emotion in me.
So what's an album so this year's obviously been very hard on a lot of us, most of us, I'd say, and there's days, you know, whether it's political stuff or bad news or, you know, whatever's going on, very overwhelming days. Is there an album that you can reach for or go to, you know, stream, put on headphones at the end of the day that can, bring you back to a good place?
A good place.
Whether it be, you know, an aggressive album to get your anger out, or a delicate album to, you know, bring your mind to ease. What's one that's like a go to?
That's a great question. I mean, there's an album by Lucky Day, and it's D-A-Y-E, and it's called Painted, and it's like an R&B record, and that every time I listen to it, like, it just kind of like makes me want to dance and makes me feel good. I definitely revisit it a lot, even though I overplayed it a lot when I first heard it. But I would say Painted by Lucky Day is a good one. Chrome Neon Jesus by Teenage Wrist also.
Teenage Wrists?
If you've never listened to that band. Yeah, they just put out a new LP this year, and it's really good. It's kind of like it's kind of like 90s rock, like Third Eye Blind-y.
Mm-hmm.
But their last EP or LP, Chrome Neon Jesus, is like really spacey, and just like every song is super catchy and a hit.
Awesome. Well, I should have probably asked this at the beginning of the interview, but screw it. I'll just ask it now. You know, besides the working on the album and everything, what have you been up to lately, and how have you been able to stay sane? Do you work like a day job, or, you know, what's your day to day like, and how are you able to stay sane during this time when, you know, a lot of us can't really see each other or go to shows and whatnot?
Right. Well, I do work a day job, and I work in a vegan kitchen. So that's fun, you know, just being able to like make food. It's not really stressful. And, you know, I like the people that I work with, but, day to day, I've been exercising a lot, been trying to spend a lot of time outside. You know, the band, we do practice, and so we see each other like once a week. And so that is helpful, being able to channel my energy into that and having a reminder as to, you know, that I do still have this outlet for me to express myself through. And then just trying to chill. it's been a nice break, you know. It's too long, but I have enjoyed the time off.
So, during this time when we can't, you know, see you, buy a t-shirt live from you, you know, give money to you that way, what's the best way to support Dying Wish right now, as we anticipate the full-length album whenever it comes out? But what's a good way to support you all?
Follow us on social media, because then we will update everything as soon as we can, as far as like how you can support us when we do have new music. So our Instagram and our Twitter are both Dying Wish HC, and follow us there, and we'll post updates when we have new music on the way, and when we drop some new merch too, which we do have some.
Cool.
On our website, link in the bio, you know, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, definitely support them and buy some merch from Dying Wish and follow, like Emma said. So we're anticipating a new album, and definitely check out the newest one, and that is called Innate Thirst. Stoked for that. I have to ask one last question, though, and this is putting you on the spot, but we have to ask this every time. So if you could pick a scar on your body, Emma, and tell us the story of how you got that scar.
Oh, no. I have one. Oh, wow. I have so many, honestly.
Cool.
I have one on my forehead.
Oh.
This is probably, I had to get four or five stitches. And I was probably about 10, and I was in a museum, and I got like somebody bumped into me, and I fell, and it was like the most dramatic thing ever. I fell into this machine that was meant to mine gold, like in the 19th century. And so I hit my head on this like bolt that was coming out of the machine, and I instantly just like blacked out. And
wow.
I came to, and my camp counselor, his name is Cameron. I had a crush on him, and he was carrying me down the stairs,
mm-hmm.
down to the bottom. And he like got me down and like put me on a bench, and he took off his shirt and pressed it to my head to stop the bleeding. I just remember that very clearly. And then I went to the hospital and had to get stitches, and my mother passed out when she saw my open wounds. It's a whole thing, but
damn.
Yeah, what a crazy question. Yeah.
That's all. Wow. That, and hey, and you even got to see your crush with his shirt off. So, hey, you know,
I did. I've been, it's been chaos ever since then. So.
Well, next time, you know, I swear we're going to do this in person, and we'll have to take a look at that scar, and then you'll have to give us a second story of another Skark, since you mentioned that you have so many. So, Emma, thank you so much for taking the time.
You got it.
Yes, thank you so much for taking the time. We look forward to the new album. Do you have any final words for Metal Shop audience and the Northwest audience?
No, I mean, just thank you for having us. And as soon as we can safely play shows and hang out with everyone, we'll be up there to play a show in Seattle. So I hope to see you there.
Right on. Thank you so much for your time.
Sweet. Thank you.
You're welcome.
This has been Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.